I hope I got it right this time. We'd like to welcome all of you to this moment of worship. As you can see, my voice is a little bit, we have been under the weather a little bit, but we are very, very blessed to be in the right place with the right people. And I like this verse because it says, as we continue to serve God's holy people. And are you going to be here? Every time you come here, you probably will hear this, because we refer to God's people as holy people. The word holy, if you look in the Bible, the apostles address all the church members as saints. The word saint means holy. And so I'm not the only one who used this. I'm just trying to be biblical. I'm just trying to go back to the Bible. And it's so wonderful always to be where we're supposed to be, right in the Bible. This verse says, God isn't unjust. In other words, if you work for God, God will give you the reward. But you should never work for God because of the reward. Because serving Him is the reward. The other one is this consequential. The other one is like we say here to the members in a Vista church. It is all deposit on your saving account. You know, when you'll be saved, then you can withdraw from that account. So that is what is important for you. It says God isn't unjust, so that He forgets your efforts, your dedication, and how you serve Him. Some people sometimes, they say, oh, but I don't have the talent. If you look in the scriptures, God chose a bunch of people without talent. And now the whole world knows them. Because God is the one who makes you able. So don't go become disabled on your own. Because God wants you to be able. And so He says He will not forget anyone who works to serve God's people. God will give you the reward. Today's message, help wanted, apply within. Now you see in a bulletin, I did this on purpose. I put a picture of where you should get application. All right, here is exactly where is looking. You just walk in and apply. Ask for application, and we'll give you an application. By the way, at this moment, the nominating committee is working, and the Lord has inspired them to pick up your name. And so when you receive a call, remember, help wanted, apply within. And the message today is with the intent to prepare the local church to realize that it's important to serve. There is no greater privilege in a Christian journey than that to say, I am one of the helpers. I am active. And that's what we should be. Now, last week, you saw we put this CH, CH, and CH. What that stands for? Nothing. Nothing. It's just like my brother here. I like see how much I love you. I like that. You see, CH, CH is just shh, shh, shh. That's all. A noise. Without a vowel, it hasn't even become a word. And what is the vowel that is missing there? No, R is not a vowel. It's you. Of course, what is needed to complete the church, you are. There's no church unless you step in. And that's why help is wanted. If you say, but I don't have the skills, God says, I don't want you to have the skills, because then you'll be too proud. Then you're going to be a pain in the neck for everybody else. You'll be argumentative. You'll be opinionated. You'll be a difficult person to deal with. I don't want your talent. I want your heart. I'll do everything else. And said, that's what God wants. So what is needed? You are. And believe me, I put the cross between you and R, so that you understand that you have to be plus something else. It can never be just you. Now, in the Bible, and in Genesis 2, verse 18, it says that God created man, but man fell alone. So God says, I'm going to make him a helper. A help has been always wanted. Every single time. How many of you here are married? All right? But a few of you. I said, how many of you are married? And one young man here looked at his girlfriend and he smiled. I don't know what that means. I think she does. And so a helper who is just right for him. I'm not going to embarrass them. I'm not going to tell you who they are. Now, during the Sabbath school lesson, our teacher mentioned the fact of Noah. And there was a discussion about Noah. I have a verse that says this. When the Son of Man returns, will be what? It will be like it was in Noah's day. What that means? What was going on in Noah's day? When God gave Noah a mission to build an ark, do you think that Noah built that ark all by himself? Not really. He put a sign, I need help. And he hired quite a few people. And they worked with him for 120 years. And they heard a sermon every day. At the end of the 120 years, how many people were ready to get inside of the boat? Only his family and the spouses of his sons. Nobody else. What happened to those people that were paid to build the whole ark? What happened to them? They step outside. And in order to protect themselves as they are not the lunatics, they start to make fun of Noah, even though they receive a pay from Noah. Now the job was over. Now he is no longer my boss. Then he started to say to them, hey, by the way, I work for him because of the money, but he's a lunatic. It never rained before. So they reject his church, his promises, his hope for the future. They decide to listen to the world instead of listen to Noah, a message from God. All eight people got inside the ark. But do you know why was the ark built? Anybody here knows why the ark was built? It seems to be obvious. What was the purpose of the ark built?
To save mankind.
To save you. The ark was built because of you. It was not built because of anybody else. Because if the ark was not built, there would be no hope for humanity. None of us will be here. And none of us will have the hope that we have in our hearts today. That very soon indeed, we are all going to be at home. And when Jesus Christ comes, it says it will be just like in the days of Noah. My question is, are you going to step outside of the church and try to look good to the people outside and says, oh no, I attend that church, but I don't believe the same way anymore. Just like in the days of Noah. Where are you going to be when the rain comes? Are you going to be inside or outside being washed away with your lack of faith? Now, going to the Bible, just a few more chapters, we find Moses and his father-in-law. Let me ask you, how many of you here still have your father-in-law living? He's still living. All right? So some of you can relate to this story here, okay? Jethro and Moses. And I think some of you know the story, so you know where we're going to be this. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything that God has done for his people. Even though he was far away, but the news came, all the miracles that happened. So he knew, he was familiar. It says, after Moses had sent away When I read this, I says, I read this quite a few times, but I never pay attention as much as for this message. It says, Moses had sent away his wife and his two sons. Sent away where? If you're too busy and your wife is demanding time, say, we work so hard, I need you here at home. Your sons are being raised up without you present. Moses, what are you doing? And I have heard people use this same excuse not to serve the church. They say, my family needs me. And you go at their home, and they are in front of the computer. I did not know computer calls. Is there a computer brain called family? I don't think so. And so he says, one son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. That's what the meaning of the name. And the other was Eliezer, for he said, my father God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. But if they are so important, they mean so much, why you send them away? You send the daughter and the sons to be with their father-in-law. But guess what the father-in-law did? Something that most father-in-law would do. Get the daughter and the two sons, says, guess what? You don't belong here with me. I've already raised you. Now you belong to somebody else. Let me go back, take you back to your husband. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to see Moses when Moses was camping close to the mountain of God. And then says Jethro sent his word to him, your father-in-law. He didn't say, I'm coming. He says, no, I'm your father-in-law. Father-in-law. Do you know what that means? I'm coming. I'm coming with your wife. He didn't say my daughter. He said, your wife and her two sons. I'm bring them back. You tried to send them for me to take care of them, but I'm bring them back. The next morning, Moses sat down at the place where he decided legal cases for the people. And then it says, and everyone. Now, do you know how many millions of Jewish people, they were millions now. One man. Early in the morning, the sun came up. There was Moses sitting down. And here come the whole day until the sun went down. This was happening every day. So Jethro saw how much Moses had to do for the people, and he asked, why are you the only judge? I'm going to say this as a pastor. Sometimes in a leadership position, in any level in life, sometimes we are so frustrated with asking some people and the people turning us down that we are tempted to do everything by ourselves. And that is a mistake. You know why? Because the moment that the pastor takes an activity that another member can do, I'm stealing from you the blessings that you deserve to receive. It is not my responsibility as a pastor to do what God wants you to do. God did not call me to be here replacing all members. The church is not a church of one. A church is a congregation of many. Why do you let these people crowd around you from morning to evening? Now I understand why you send your wife to me. Because you have no time for them. Of course, I'm implying that this could be taking place. I don't know. I'm taking my liberties here. They bring their complaints to me. And now they have their troubles. They don't have a court system. I am it. There's no other place. They cannot go back to Egypt. It's me. And I make decisions on the basis of God's laws. I want to call your attention to this verse because somebody may read quickly and don't realize what this implies. Do you know why they all came to Moses? Anybody have any clue why they all came to Moses and why they did not go to ask their neighbor? Because neighbors sometimes can be very nosy, but sometimes they can help you out too. Especially if they are good neighbors. But what happens here is that they imply that only Moses knew God's will. That nobody else knew. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you, by not digging in into God's will, sometimes you think that it's enough to come to church and get a fast food. Just give me a half an hour sandwich and I'm going to feed with myself with this for the rest of the week. And no wonder why you become weak. Because you eat once a week. And sometimes you don't want to eat a good meal. You just want to take a bite and run. Sometimes pastors are tempted to be fast food providers. It needs to taste good. It doesn't need to be healthy. As long as the church gives a bite and goes away smiling, I've done my job. You know, one of the hardest part of being a pastor is that I have one day to answer to my boss. And he is a big guy. I don't want to take my chances. I want to serve you well, so when I come before him, he may say to me that I did well. So, brothers and sisters, don't let the pastor tell you everything because you need to feed yourself. You need to go to the Word. You need to eat because the time is coming when pastors won't be around. And you need to know God's will. Jeth replied, that isn't the best way to do it. He said, Moses, you are a man of God. You are doing God's work. But guess what? You are not doing things right. And you know that sometimes hurts your pride, especially when your father-in-law tells you that you are not doing things right. You are not my father. Oh yes, I am your father-in-law. I am your father. And I'm going to tell you that isn't the best way to do it. You and the people. Remember, this is the Moses that speaks to God. That talks to God all the time. And here comes a priest and tell him that you do not know how to do your job. Ouch, that hurts. You and the people who came to you will soon be worn out. You're hurting them. You're not helping them. You're hurting yourself. You're destroying your family. Your sons. They need you. They need a father. Not a father-in-law. The job is too much for one person. Wake up, Moses. It's too much. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. God will help you if. What is that if all about? You notice when you read the Bible, you find if all over the place. Have you noticed that an if is the heart of life? If you look life, it's impossible not for you to see if. It's conditional. It's right there. Oh, what about gift? Yes, if is the heart of gift as well. A gift of life, there is if. And so God will help you if you follow my advice. Wow, who is this guy there? Now he comes instead of me telling me, you go and listen to God's advice and tell me. He had a confidence that he was speaking what was best for his son-in-law, for his family, for his people. He had the confidence to say, this is God's will, that you don't kill yourself. You should be the one to speak to God for the people. Yes, there is a purpose why God called you, but you are misusing Moses. You're misusing. It is very important for us not only to be committed to help, but to know how to help, so our help will be appreciated and valued. And you should teach them. Oh, make disciples. That's the message of the New Testament. Make disciples. Teach them to observe all things. And then they will become preachers themselves. Everyone here should be a preacher. Oh, don't say, Pastor, I'm not very good to speak in public. Do you know that you speak in public every day? When you dress at home and you come to the streets, you are speaking. Ladies, what message are you sending when you dress up to come to church or go anywhere? How are you preaching? When you do dealings, when you go to the market and buy things, how you approach other people, you are preaching very loud and you do not know. Yes, teach them God's laws. Teach them and show them. Teach them and show them what they must do to live right. Yes, not only to teach, but to show. You will need to appoint some competent leaders. Praise God for the word competent. But much praise is to the one who respects God. Competence without God is just stupidity with pride. Let me repeat. Competence without God is just stupidity with pride. You must respect God if you are really competent and are trustworthy and honest. Then put them over the groups of 10, 50, 100, and 1,000. These judges can handle the little cases. Only the most very difficult ones, you can handle them. Have them to share the load with, will make your work easier. Not really easier. Make it more effective. Because was not being very effective. This is the way God wants it done. You see how he talks? The father-in-law says, by the way, I'm telling you to do because that's the way God wants. And he was confident, and it's true, I agree with him. You won't be under nearly as much stress. You'll be able to be a better father for your children. You'll be a better husband at home. You'll be much easier to get along with if you don't overburden yourself. And everyone else will return home feeling satisfied. I would like to stretch this verse a little bit. Who in the world he was talking about? Everyone. Everyone else. He basically was saying, I can go back to my business as being just a priest. I don't have to take your spouse and your children. I can go home happy. You can go home happy. Everybody's happy. If everybody does God's will the way it's supposed to be. Everybody else can return home feeling satisfied. And I hope when you go home today, you make enough decisions in your life that you also can go home satisfied. Everyone else. Now, Jesus Christ chose 12 apostles. If you look Luke 6, verse 12 to 16, you see that it says this, one day soon after Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and by the way, he prayed the whole night, all night long. When we are choosing officers for the church, we pray, and we ask God to be the one who makes the decisions. It says at daybreak, he called all his disciples. People don't realize that he's not talking about the 12. He was talking to all his followers. There are a bunch of them there. And then he says, you know what? I want those. Simon, come up.
Oh, me?
Yeah, Simon, come. The one he called Peter. And then Andrew, your brother. Ask your brother to come up too. And then James, you too, come. John, Philip, Bartholomew, all of you come up. Matthew, Thomas, and the other James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon, the other Simon. There was two Simons, two James, and two Judas. And it says, and this Judas is the one who betrayed him later. He called all the 12 up. And he put all the 12 in front of everybody else. And he said, those here will have a unique responsibility in the build of this church. Brothers and sisters, why you are so vital? Why you are so vital? Because I mentioned last week, you know that a you is needed in unity. You know that a you is needed in communion. You know that in community you are needed as well. You know that we cannot communicate it without you. Communication needs you too. And you know that every time that God opens an opportunity, you need to be there too. You are the opportunity. But there's something else that I don't know if you see though, each word. You and I. This is Christ talking to us. You and I. 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 There is nothing we can accomplish unless we are with Christ. And that's Christ speaking. You and I. You and I. You and I. So let me put this together. You and, now I put I here big so you know that that's Jesus speaking. T-E-D. Yes, united together every day. Jesus does not want to be part of your life on Sabbath or Wednesday. He wants to be part of your life every day. Every single day. You know, if Jesus is part of your life every single day, then you'll be consecrated. You'll be truly saint. And you'll have a pure heart, a consecrated heart. Then you'll be united with Christ and you with your fellow brothers and sisters. Then you'll be reflecting, you'll be sending a message which is Christ's holiness. And that is the church all about. You need to understand, brothers and sisters, there is no church unless your heart is consecrated, unless you're united in purpose, you're united to help each other, reflecting Christ's holiness. That is the only objective of the church. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, we all need it. If you lose one limb, and I hope you don't, I praise the God that you don't, but if you talk to somebody who have lost an arm or in a service lost a leg, you see how difficult it is for you to readjust the whole body to compensate for that what is missing. It's not any different in the church. When one person has to have, oh, are you the head deacon? Oh, yes, I'm the head deacon. Oh, you are so the head elder. Oh, you are so the and then there is a whole list. One person with a 5-6 offices, and everybody else comes to church and says, I'm here just to receive. I'm not here to give anything, I'm just to take. I hope you are not one of them. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, brothers and sisters, offices in Christ's church are his helpers who primarily administer the word of God and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. You can see more as a reference in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, 12, 28, Romans 12, 7, 8, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and the list goes on. There are many, many more. I'll wait until you take the picture. And then those are the references of officers in the church. Remember their qualifications too. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. That Acts 14 verse 23. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do everything you want. Remember, you are part of God's church to do what God wants you to do. Use it as an opportunity. That is the word again, you and I. An opportunity to serve each other with love. Galatians 5 verse 13. The term office in Christ's church refers to the position which involves service, dedication, and accountability. Have you seen something there yet? It's you. Seventh-day Adventist. The purpose for you to be a Seventh-day Adventist is for you to serve, to be dedicated, and to be accountable to the Lord who chose you to be part of this church. You need to understand that, brothers and sisters. It's very vital. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Brothers and sisters, if you always seek what is good, what do you think is going to happen to your life? Let me repeat the question. If you always seek what is good, what is going to happen to your life? You're going to be surrounded by goodness. Because what we search for is what we find, and what we find was defined what we become. It is very important to look for good because we are good. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to share this. Can you see well? Because sometimes the light, I don't know. Do you know what it is there? A young man fall in a hole. A very deep hole. He was there, and he has no idea how to get out. Well, I don't think you can see that well, huh? So, imagine, he fell inside of this big hole. And as he was there, he could see there was no way out. He felt like, I'm going to perish here because I need help. I cannot get out unless somebody helps me. And so what did he do? He kept waiting. And suddenly, a physician passed by, way on top, and looked down. And he saw the, you know, dress in white with the thing in his neck. He says, hey, doctor, help me. I need to get out of here or I'll perish in this hole. Help me, doctor. The doctor took a little book, started writing something. Throw inside, it says, here is a prescription. Take care. And walk away. Man got the paper. What? Hey, doctor. The doctor was gone. And as he was calling, another person came by. Now it was a priest. And so he said, hey, priest. Hey, man, I'm glad that you are here. Help me to get out of this place. Please, holy man, help me to get out of this place. And the priest also took a little book and wrote a prayer and threw to him. May God bless you. And walked away. Come on, priest. You are a holy man. Help me. You're supposed to help people. Help me. And the priest was gone. He was discouraged because if a doctor cannot help me, and he had, you know, he had a vow to help people, a life of service. The priest, the same. These people that promised made a vow to help other people, and they just walked away. They just sent me this. What am I going to do with a prayer if I'm in this big hole? What am I going to do with a prescription? I don't need medicine. I need to get out of here or I will be dead. And then finally somebody else show up. Hey, Joe! My friend! How are you? Please, find a way to get me out of this hole. And for his surprise, Joe jumps in. He said, you're my friend. Are you stupid? Why are you dropping the... Now we are both stuck here. And the friend said to him, no, my friend. I have been down here before. I know the way out. That friend is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how deep is the hole that you have been in your life. He is the help that you want. Because he knows how to get out. May the Lord bless you. And if you see that sign in any church that you serve, help is wanted. Make a difference. Be the one who jumps in because you know the way out. Be a helper. And God will help you to be in his kingdom. God bless. Amen.